Go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 22 and chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You are not in the dark that day that the Lord's going to return shall overtake you as a thief in the night. How exciting it is to live right now. How exciting. He goes on and he says this. He says this word compounded together means to think differently after. And it says, in fact, metanoia, the word for repentance, may therefore issue in regret and in change of conduct. But these are later ideas. They can have some regret. They can create some change of conduct. But this is secondary. It's a later concept. He says it is a later idea and has been imported into the word by scriptural usage and does not lie in it etymologically, nor is it by primary use, meaning that you should feel sorry. Now, one of the reasons people think repentance means you need to feel sorry for your sins is because it is used in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, talking to the Corinthian people who, by the way, were already believers. He's not talking about salvation now. He's just talking about, get your mind around this. They were already believers, and he says, I saw that you sorrowed after a godly sort. He's not even talking about repentance yet. He says, for the repentance of God is not to be repented of or regretted. So there's a whole other word, which has the word lupus in it, which is like lupus. Okay? Shouldn't make it change your face. He says, you will not change your face when you change your mind according to what God has told you. When you do what God wants you to do, it might change your face, but it'll be a good thing. Okay? You're going to go from sadness to gladness. You see, the thing is about our message is it's a good news. It's not a bad news. Yes, there's going to be some sorrow, but that's not the point of metanoia. That's not the point of repent. Repent means you get your mind around it. Look at what Jesus is doing. Look at what John is doing. Look at what he said. Look at how he taught. Look at what's been coming to pass. We've got a whole host of information from our 2,000 years of church history, and you and I are standing at the cusp of something amazing. A one world government, a one world religion, all of the things. There's apostasy afoot. People are dismissing church out of hand. They're saying, I don't need church. I don't need God. I don't need it. I'm good. I'm smart enough. I can't go with any kind of organized religion. I'm telling you, this is the apostasy. We're there. And what you're looking at is we're looking at a reality that could be sad or you could be glad when you hear it. Because, first of all, you're going to become poor in spirit. And that means you're going to be bankrupt, and there is some bringing you up short in your step. You think, well, I thought I had this going on. Let me give it to you in this way. Let's say you're not a great sinner. Let's say you're a great religious person. Well, that person been told all their life that Mary is the one they're supposed to pray to. Let's say Romanism. Use it as an illustration. They're a great Catholic. But when they hear the Word of God, and they realize Jesus had brothers and sisters, and that's at the end of chapter 13 we saw, brothers and sisters, his mother's name was Mary. Joseph was a carpenter. They knew who he was, where he was. They knew his heritage. And so those people knew it. And in our day, there are people who are good religious people who are deceived because they've taken man's word at something rather than taking the word of God. Because if you take the word of God, you have to choose when you run into something like chapter 13 at the end where it says he had brothers and sisters. And his mother was there. And you have to choose whether you're going to take God or you're going to take man. You're going to take scripture or you're going to take tradition. And that's their dilemma. Now, a person who really takes God at his word will find something very profound at the beginning. They will find that it makes sense. Okay, it's amazingly, amazingly crafted, this word that God has given to you and me. And so what we're seeing is he's basically saying that this repentance thing means change your mind. Contextually in history, he was saying, Jesus is coming real soon. I need you all to pay attention to me over here. You know, sit your seats up straight. You know, strap yourself in and think about this because this is important. Jesus will be here soon. If I could just stop right there for a minute and let you think about it. Jesus will be here soon. What do you have in your heart? What do you have in your hand? Is it good? Is it right? Is it proper? Is it the thing that he would be pleased with? He's saying Jesus is coming. This whole thing that you've been believing, which their thing was Judaism, and their Judaism was so corrupted, it was almost unrecognizable. In fact, it was not just unrecognizable, it was unable to recognize what God was doing when He was bringing His Son into play at that time. They couldn't get there. They couldn't get their minds around it. The Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. So this word repentance could make you glad, but it could make you sad, because you might have to let go of the system. You remember the man who was healed, and they said, "Who healed you?" And he said, "I don't know. He was blind. He didn't know who he was." And he said, "Well, ask the parents. Was your son born blind?" "Well, you ask him," because they were afraid to answer, because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to be dissociated from the religious system, so they would not affiliate with Jesus at that time. But this man says, "I don't know who he is, but whoever he is, I once was blind, but now I see. So I'm going with him." And Jesus came to him later and gave him that holy hug, as it were, so to say. But this word doesn't mean you have to work up a sorrow. I'm trying to get a stumbling block out of the way. You're not trying to work up a sorrow. You're trying to get your mind engaged and begin to realize what's happening around you. This world is changing. If you want a revival, the revival will happen when you begin to see where we are in the continuum of our eschatology. We understand we're right close to the end, and Jesus is about to break through. We've been saying it all my life, but never has it been more profound than in the days you and I are living in, with the entire world in upheaval and trying to equalize itself. This word repentance has been rightly defined theologically as this: it's such a virtuous alteration of the mind and purpose as begets a like virtuous change in the life and practice. Now, you and I may be, we are at a disadvantage. May I say that? We're at a disadvantage because basically, if we're in a day of apostasy, then we look pretty good. You know what I'm saying? We look pretty good if everybody's apostate. Well, I'm in church. Well, I gave my money. I'm doing my thing. I'm giving a tract out now and again. But that's really not it. All those things are virtuous and important and things we should be doing. But you know, duty is easy. Because duty demands that we have a list. And now that I've got my list, I can do it. That's why many times religions are fraught with different lists. Churches that were hyper-legalistic in the 70s because the world was coming unglued, the sexual revolution was changing, birth control had made free love, as it were, something of a common thing, and it was getting commoner and commoner. Okay, it was getting worse and worse. And because of that, pastors were struggling. They were just men. They were just trying to figure out, what do I do? And sometimes they'd get up in the pulpit and kind of rail at people, and it was an unfortunate moment. But what do you do when the ship is tipping and running? You're not going to have cool, collected, and calm kind of a thing going on. The whole ship was in upheaval, and some people who were older saints and grounded knew that, understood that. However, others may have gotten hurt at times like that through such things. But the problem is that because we've come through that mess, we've come to this mess, and we're looking around us and we're seeing an apostasy around us, what ends up happening is we think we look pretty good. But the church is not based on our behaviors. We are based upon our beliefs. And if we truly have a repentance that is an ongoing thing, because it's easy to get kind of bogged down, day-to-day life. You go to work, you come home, you go to work, you come home. Life is life. It can be like that. But there comes points where you have to go back and do a reckoning of your own heart. Do a reconsideration of what you really believe. And may I say to you, do not look at this world for church. Look at the Bible for church. Because the church in the New Testament was people who came together to hear God's Word, so that they'd understand it better, so that they could go out and tell other people God's Word. It was about showing up with a sense of wanting to know. You don't have to go. I have to go to church now. You don't have to go. You got to go, man. I got to go. Something inside of our hearts says, I got to go to church. You say, well, I already know it all. How's the fruit business? Because that's what it is. Because we have babies. And when we have babies, what happens is we got to be there to nurture them. My wife and I have a cup of coffee on Fridays after we start our morning and get things going. We go out to Panera. It's right up on the corner of our road practically, less than a half a mile away. This guy came in. Linda had talked to him before. He was a guy who works at a local store, and he just really lit up when he saw her. She lit up when she saw him, and I turned around because he was coming up behind me. Turns out that this guy said he was saved. Linda had asked him at one time, but as he came, hey, do you mind if I sit right there? He sat by. I said, no, just sit over here. So my wife and I are sitting there with a man I've never met, but now he's sitting at our table. I began to ask him, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he's like, yeah. I got saved about 3 years ago. I said, oh, that's great, man. It's great. Well, let me ask you this. What would you say if God said, why should I let you into my heaven? You know what he said? He said, man, I don't know. I don't know. Now, Linda had thought he was saved. She didn't have long time at the registers where he was working, so this was a little more time, okay? She couldn't go there and ask him that secondary question. But we both thought he might be saved. I mean, I felt like he might be because he just seemed like a really nice guy, and he was very eager to sit with people that were talking about God, and, well, that's all great. But nobody ever pressed the question, and he could be prone to perishing from the pew. And what I'm trying to show you is that this is what the church does. I don't do that because I'm a pastor. I do it because I'm a Christian. That's it. If I was not pastoring, I would be doing that. You need to be doing that. You got to figure it out. If it's something that, okay, I can't talk, that's not new, okay? Moses said, God, I've got an impediment, I can't speak. He says, I'll give you what you need. Some people have a gift of giving. Some people have a gift of help. Some people have a gift of mercy. Some people have. You have a gift, and you have to figure out what that gift is, and you got to put it in play, because people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. And it's easy for a true-born child of God to share Jesus once the conversation starts. And you got to use whatever you got in your pocket, because God has equipped you uniquely for that task. And the real question at the moment, I want to throw this out there over the midst of our hearts, is anybody going to be in heaven as a result of the fact that you're going to heaven? Because that's fruit. Very, very powerful. And it matters. You say, why do you say that? That's just hard. You know, I mean, I feel guilty now. I know. That's okay. Repentance means think about what I'm saying. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel sad. What I'm trying to say is the New Testament church had a certain look. It had a certain gait. It had a certain gleam in the eye. And it had an impact. Amen? That is true. And that's what we need to aspire to. We all need to be mindful that that's the goal every day. And I'm telling you, folks, in America's church, that is not what we see. We see busyness. We see training children. Can I tell you something? Training children is supposed to be done at home. Now, we can do some stuff in church to facilitate that, but be mindful that when a church does it and it's expected of the church to do it, and the parents don't do it, then what's going to happen is it's going to be a weakened version, because it's going to break down. So I say to you, as you look at this word repentance, realize you have to go there as an individual. Are you doing the basic thing God wants you to be? Are you being God's people? Are you God's church? Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.